We all know how important it is to get a good night's sleep. I know that if I don't sleep for 8 hours a night, I am not as sharp. From memory foam mattresses that hug in all the right places to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support at every price point. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/Chelsea for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. LEESA.com/Chelsea.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Catherine.
Oh, hello, Chelsea.
Okay, so we are at the end of November, which means it's almost December.
Has this year gone so fast for you?
Yeah, when I'm touring, things go by pretty quickly.
I'm sure. Do you just like blink and you are home again after months?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been so crazy. Vanessa, the woman who opens for me, I mean, I say woman, but she's more of a baby. I consider her to be my baby. I mean,
she's a sweetie.
She says she's 38, but whatever.
I don't believe it.
That means I had her when I was 12. No. 38. I had her when I was 10.
Oh, that one
must have been rough. Anyway, she's become ridiculous on tour, and her behavior is astonishing. So, I mean, I just don't even.
Do you have receipts? Do you have examples?
I have a lot of video footage of her shoplifting and out of the green room. She takes stuff from the green room. She goes grocery shopping. I mean, it's not really shoplifting, but it's just helping herself. She goes through the green room and literally does her grocery shopping through the green room. Like, she's like, oh, here's an orange, an apple, here's a like a brick of cheddar. And then she just puts it in her purse. And then, like, I'll be like, hey, do you have an edible? And she's like, takes out an orange, an apple, a banana. She had like bags of nuts. I'm like, are you treating this like a United flight? Like,
I mean,
anyway,
I don't know. I kind of approve.
She is
like
ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have had a really ridiculous time. And she's very hard not to like cuddle and tickle, you know?
I bet.
Because she's just so adorable. But I have to keep my hands off of her because she's going to claim allegations against
workplace.
Me.
Workplace,
yeah,
Chelsea.
Yeah, I know. I'm not good at that stuff. I'm just too affectionate.
Mm-hmm. So our guest today does stand up, but she didn't always do stand up. And she talked about like, the first time she did stand up, she was like, oh, wait, this is totally for me. Did you feel that way when you started? Or
No. I was just like, oh, my God, this is going to give me so much diarrhea. Like, it was so nerve wracking and I just couldn't. Stand up is scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so grateful I'm at a place where I feel so in control of what I'm doing and I know how to handle myself. But stand up in the beginning is very scary. When people are addicted, there are stand ups who are addicted to being on stage and that cannot get off stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are stand ups who just like, you know, I'm not like that. I'm not like I have to be on stage for 2 hours
right.
or I have to go do 5 sets when I have a week off. I feel nothing like that.
Yeah.
But when I am on stage, I love it and I love, you know, telling a story from beginning to end,
yeah.
which is basically what my stand-up is, storytelling.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved it, but it was so scary that the scary kind of was commensurate to
mm-hmm.
the joy.
Well, and I feel like, especially for people who are starting out, like you go into a room where stand-up is being performed and like, it's almost like the audience is like daring you to fail. You know, in small rooms or with starting comedians. I feel like it must be so difficult to start.
It is. But a good thing for everyone to remember is if you're doing that, and this applies to anything, like when you have a fucking great attitude and you get on stage and you're beaming, it is infectious to the audience. Mm-hmm. So if you have a great attitude and you're feeling positive and you're happy, you're going to do great. Everything's going to go great, because even if you tell a joke that bombs, your disposition will be so fun and happy that it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? You can laugh with the audience about not getting laughs.
Yeah. Yeah. Chelsea, should we get to our guest?
You can find our guest today on her podcast, Burner Phone and Giggly Squad. Tickets for her comedy tour are available at hannahburner.com. Please welcome comedian, podcast host, and digital creator, Hannah Burner. Okay, Hannah, we both have the same publicist. So we have like three publicists that are on.
Yeah, and they're like, don't say anything. So we're not allowed to say anything today.
And I told them, like, I mean, they must just be listening to this to just, you know, not have to do anything for the hour.
Maybe they like us.
Well, they do. They do. I love, this is my, first of all, my PR team and your PR team are the best PR teams.
No, they're for the girls.
I have never been, I've been through so many publicists in this town. And, you know, I do have a difficult personality, but this is the best publicity team I've ever worked with.
But you're a self-aware queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 yeah.
They said good things about you because I wanted the tea. I was like, Chelsea, is she a monster? Were like, we're obsessed with her.
Yeah, no, I'm a good girl.
Yeah, she's good.
Yeah, I take care of my people and my people take care of me. So
I also have to tell you, we've met before.
Oh, shit. And, this happens all the time.
No, but it's not an embarrassing thing. Like, you missed me.
Oh.
Right after college. Years ago.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
Okay.
So 10 years ago. So I was on the tennis team.
Oh, so you're a tennis player.
Yeah, they didn't let you take too many classes. So after college, I was teaching tennis that summer in Shelter Island.
Oh my God, I took a tennis class with you.
We played doubles together, babe.
With Andre Balazs.
So he wasn't there, your ex-boy toy. I was getting paid by my sugar grandpa to play doubles with these older men.
Sugar grandpa?
I call him my sugar grandpa.
Does that mean you were dating him?
No, but he was giving me too much money to play tennis. Like, for a young 22-year-old, it was like $200 for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
That was like lawyer money.
Sweet deal.
No, I know. Because they didn't pay, but anyway, so I had to play doubles with these old men. And he goes, oh, Chelsea's coming today. And I didn't know who Chelsea was. Mm. And you show up, and I'm like, oh, as a Chelsea Lately fan, I was like, this is an awesome morning that I didn't anticipate. And you turn to me and you go, let's fucking beat these boys. And I got so nervous. I like double faulted. And you were like, no, it's okay. And then we just demolished them. And then I never saw you again. And I was like, Chelsea and I kicked ass. So that was 10 years ago.
Oh, tennis sounds so good right now.
I know. Tennis is like cool now. It wasn't cool when I was a kid.
No, tennis is cool now. You know, well, pickleball is trying to be cool, but I wish pickleball would just shut the fuck up for 2 seconds.
I say pickleball is a cult.
Everyone wants to talk about pickleball all the time. It is. It's cult-like.
It's culty. You stop talking to your family. You only dress in pickleball outfits. And
any talk of sports right now, guys, you have to know that I had knee surgery, and any talk of sports is like, it hurts my knee. Because I'm so excited. No, I got my knee fixed so that I can ski this week. This winter. I'm an avid skier. So
no, I
got my knee scoped out, and then I went home and I was all hopped up on medication and anesthesiology. And I was feeling great, but then you wake up and you're like, fuck, I can't take all this medication. You feel like your body is so polluted.
Yeah, you just want
bloated,
weed.
Bloated, like from all of the fluids they put you. I'm like, cool it with the fluid IV. Like, I don't need that much fluid.
No, you're like an Olympic athlete that needs to be ready for her gold season.
So I had to limp in here like Limp Bizkit and to meet with you. But I'm happy that you're here in person in New York City.
No, thank you. This is like such an honor. But I also, my husband, who I brought up earlier.
I can't believe you're married.
I know.
Why?
It's very off-brand.
It is.
He's an older,
you
like...
You don't strike me as someone who would be married when I watch your videos online, which are very funny, by the way.
Thank you.
You're really funny.
Thank you. I like your
attitude and your shtick.
I think you paved the way for me.
Oh, well, that's...
But yeah, getting married was not a plan. It happened during the pandemic. I met an older man. He's very tired.
How old is he?
47.
Oh.
And he likes to golf. He likes to ski. He likes to chill.
How did you meet him during the pandemic when you're supposed to stay 6 feet apart from people?
He DM'd me.
Uh-huh.
Because I was in Shelter Island and he was in like West Hampton. He was like, do you want to get coffee?
How did he know you?
Through the comedy world, but he lived in Ireland. He actually Small World, he's friends with Ursula Carlson, and they were working on a script once.
Oh, yeah. I know Ursula. That's, of course. She's my fucking husband. Hilarious.
She's the fucking best.
Oh, she's from New Zealand, right?
Yes. And anyone from New Zealand makes me laugh.
Yeah,
but
well, she's ridiculous.
Next level.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I can't wait till the States discovers her.
I know. We tried to do a show with her, I think. I don't remember what happened.
So he was on the show with her. He was like the co-writer.
Oh, that's funny. Wow, we have all these little...
So you dated my husband before.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we got engaged in like 6 months, and it was kind of like I decenter men from my life.
You That's what?
Like decenter men.
Decenter men. Okay.
As in, like, you don't make any decisions based on men.
Right. I see. Well, I like that phrasing. I've never heard that before. Decenter men. Okay.
I think the Gen Z girlies are saying it, but I think you really live by that. Like, you do what makes you happy, brings you joy. And if people come, great. And if they don't, who gives a fuck? But you're not going to force or change things.
Or act, or be. The word desperate is very, you know, when people, I find things to be very desperate sometimes when people talk, when people are searching so hard to find someone.
Yeah.
There's a desperation to it. And it's like, if you really were happy with yourself and you can get to a place where you are really, really happy, it's totally fine to want to meet somebody. But to have that be like your main objective feels like you're missing a piece of the pie.
Like you betray who you are to make someone like you. Or you know when you have a full plan of like how to run into somebody? Like I have a full chart where I'm like, okay, he's going to, you know, have to go to the bathroom at this time and I'm going to run into him. And sometimes you do get the guy and then you're like, fuck, like this isn't me. I forced this and I don't like who I am with him.
Well, also, well, that, of course. But that's, you know, listen, in our 20s, we act like idiots because that's what we're supposed to be doing. And you can obsess and crave. And I mean, even sometimes in your 30s. Yeah. And a lot of my 30s. It wasn't until my 40s that I had enough self-confidence that I'm like, wait, I don't care if you like me first. That's not enough for me to like you back.
I know. The second like, you hear someone liked you, I'm like, he's like cool. Like, he could be a little gremlin. And I'm like, he's funny.
I have an experiment that I've been trying out with myself for a while now where I don't, even if it's non-sexual, you know, like just a person like or another celebrity or a regular person, just because they dislike me doesn't mean I don't like them. You know what I mean?
Ooh,
like,
that's fucking powerful.
I'm like, well, your opinion of me has nothing to do with me anyway, so I can still like you if you don't like me.
It's like a troll comments and you go, I love your sweater. Yeah. I love your sweater and your profile picture. You're gorgeous. You're stunning. But sometimes it also doesn't have to do with you. They're projecting their shit. So anyway, this guy came along and it was at a time in my life I was very focused on myself and I was like, this is nice. And it's nice to have a husband in a way, like, obviously not all husbands are the same. Different ratings per husband, but I don't have to stress about dating. It's kind of like, okay, check, I have this like partner in crime and now I could focus on myself. And he's very like, I'm on the road all the time. Like I've never seen him.
That's right. You're on tour.
I haven't seen him forever.
Do you like being on the road?
I like being on the road because my apartment's a mess. So I walk into a hotel room and I'm like a monster. I'm like, why did no one clean these towels?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love living that simple life. I also like saying I'm on the road and people leave me alone.
Uh-huh. It's a great way to get out of shit.
I'm just napping. Like I'm napping from 2 to 5 and then I go on stage.
I wish I could nap. I can't nap.
It's a gift.
It is. I don't know why I don't have that gene, but if I take a nap, first of all, if I took a 3-hour nap, I would be dead when I woke up.
No, I am.
I get up early and I need, and I even when I'm tired, I just cannot sleep during the day. It doesn't matter what is going on.
Well, I was telling our PR team, I was like, don't put me on anything before like 10 a.m. because I'm a big sleeper. I think I deal with some depression where like, I mean, I could fall asleep anywhere. And so it's almost nice for me to rest. But then, yeah, I don't know what state I'm in. I don't know where I am. But the adrenaline hits me when I get on stage.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the road, but I'm also lucky now that I'm like, I'm doing theaters now where women, I mean, we could talk forever about this, but like being a woman on the road is difficult. It's difficult being alone, especially if you're like can't afford Ubers or you're put in a lot of awkward situations that aren't ideal.
Can you not afford Ubers?
Now I can.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're playing theaters, you should definitely be able to.
But I'm saying back in the day,
Uber.
Like girls starting in comedy,
it's very unsafe
a lot of the
time. No, it is unsafe. It is unsafe. I never drew, but we didn't even have Ubers when I started. I just drove myself everywhere.
So I'm from New York City, so I don't even have a license. I couldn't have made it in comedy 10 years ago because I don't have a license. I would have, like, walked on the highway to my gigs.
Yeah. Well, can't you take the train or the subway?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's,
I know.
Like, difficult. Well, a lot of admin, planning.
Oh, listen, all I do is admin all day long. That's what I do in my hotel that I stay in New York. They have a club lounge. Uh-huh. And I always tell my assistant from 5 to 7, which is happy hour, I'm like, I have to go upstairs and do admin.
No, the amount of planes and hotels, and you mess up one thing, it's your name on the bill.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a miracle we made it here today.
It is a miracle. Thank God.
Especially with
for
your,
small miracles
your
or big ones. Yeah. My janky knee that I'm rubbing right now. It looks like I'm masturbating under the table, but I'm just soothing myself. I'm self-soothing.
But I want to say with this, I love that, with this older man, he loves skiing. And I'm an athlete, but I never skied before.
You never skied?
I wasn't allowed to because of tennis.
Oh.
My parents would be like, God forbid you get injured,
right,
you can't, whatever.
Tennis. Renee Stubbs. You mentioned Renee Stubbs when we came in.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about Renee Stubbs because she's a friend of mine. Is she a friend of yours? She makes her way around Manhattan in a way I've never seen. I have had more people come up to me going, I know you're friends with Renee Stubbs. I'm like, what is Renee Stubbs walking around with a fucking sign that says I'm friends with Chelsea Handler?
Renee Stubbs is part of, I call it the power lesbian community of New York City.
Oh, yes.
And I'm trying to rub shoulders with that. I think lesbians, I think they push the door down for the straights because they don't give a fuck what men think.
Right.
And they just do it. So I was talking to her on her tennis show and she's like, oh, comedian, I know Chelsea Handler. And I was like, oh yeah, I've heard of her as a comic. And I messaged her this morning. I was like, any advice? And she's like, you know, in her Australian accent over text, just be yourself, you know, treat her like your sister. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means. Thank you.
I don't know what that means. I'm seeing Renee, that big lesbian, tomorrow night for dinner.
There's drama in the lesbian world too.
Oh, no. Listen, the lesbians are taking me. They are trying to capture
lesbian
me.
Lesbian TikTok? Are you on it?
No.
It's wild.
No. What's going on lesbian TikTok?
All sorts of drama.
I can't go online right now. It's too upsetting. I can't look at social media now during these difficult times.
I'm pretending the lesbian drama
is your world an epicenter.
That's the only thing that's going on.
Right.
You have to distract yourself.
So how long into dating your husband did you realize that you were going to marry him? You were like, I'm in love with you.
Good question.
Do you think you would have married him had it not been for COVID?
Great question. All valid questions.
Yeah, questions he should be asking you.
Questions that now I'm regretting not thinking about. No, my parents got engaged in 4 months. So I had this like fake love story in my head that like that's how it's going to be. Like if I was with a guy for a year, I'm like, this isn't magical. He's not the one.
Right.
So early on, he kind of was like, yeah, I want to marry you. I think he was. And at first, I'm like, classic. He's a comedian, so I was like, oh, he's probably a comedian narcissist.
Is he Irish? Or
he grew up in Queens, and then he lived in Ireland since he was 14.
Oh, okay.
So he became a big comedian in Ireland.
Oh.
But now he's back because of COVID, and it was kind of this like, we'll see. I've never dated an older guy. Could be like a creepy uncle, like you never know.
Uh huh. Uncle Gary. That's every creepy uncle's name is Gary.
Yeah, you change it to Gary even if it's not.
Gary's not a hot name. I named a dog Gary and I had to return him.
So yeah, we hit it off and I got engaged in 6 months, but it was COVID time. So I say it's dog years, you times 7. And to be perfectly blunt, you know, he was at a time in his life where like he wasn't touring anymore. But now like he just enables me. He literally said like, I want to chill. I don't care about the fame or the money. Like, I'm tired. You can go work. And I was like, that's a dream.
Well, yeah.
It's better than sex. Tell me that every night.
And do you guys have a lot of sex?
We do.
That's good.
Because I think we're not roommates. We don't see each other that often.
Yeah, I think that's the key ingredient for all relationships is you can't see each other. I just had to inject myself in my thigh this morning with something that is going to help with my sex drive because I have like no desire to fuck anyone, and I've been keep going on these kind of quasi dates or like going out with guys, trying to drum up some business, and then I'm like looking at them, going, I just want to be in my bed, like I don't even want to fuck you, and I'm like something's wrong with me, and I can't take testosterone because my hair thinned the last time I took that, and I it's not like I'm gonna be bald and horny, you know what I mean? Like what's the point of that fucking combo platter? So I was like, forget it. So I went to my So I went to my anti aging doctor, and I was like, listen, you got to give me something for sex drive because I don't think I have it. I'm like, I've tried to have sex like 3 times
because you were really horny when you were younger.
Well, no, not horny, but like I could get excited. I've never been boy crazy. That's not my personality, but I do want to
love that about you.
But also it's like, wait, why do we have so much pressure? Like, you know, if I go a few months without having sex, I'm like, oh shit, I better have sex. And it's like, why do I need to have sex? But apparently I think I do. So anyway, I injected myself this morning with some thiamosin, or I don't know what the fuck it's called. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if that drums up any sexual feelings for me, because...
Well, people don't talk about how sex is oftentimes a bad experience, especially when it's like a new guy or something.
Yeah,
it's awkward,
it's weird.
And I'm like, my night would have been better without it.
Right.
I think it's for us... And I always said I didn't want to be with a comic because I've been with a comic before and it wasn't great. But with him, I respect him mentally, which is crazy to think. But like, it's like you need to find someone that their love language is laughter with you and you feel excited about like riffing with them. And that's like your foreplay. That's the hotness. Like, we talk on the phone a lot. That's like our thing.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I need to fuck you now. It's like,
we just talk.
We don't shut up.
And does he work now at all?
He's working. He's still doing comedy and stuff. We have podcasts together, Burner Phone.
Oh, that's together with him.
Yeah,
okay.
So he's good. But I just want him to like be confident enough to like let me do my thing and support me. And he is. So.
Yeah, that's important because a lot of men come across as like they are confident or are seemingly confident. And then when it comes down to it, they're fucking paranoid. They're jealous. They're not confident.
Yeah. And then you're like, I just want to love you. And they're acting weird towards you. And then you realize you have to baby them and be like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. The distance is very important for any independent woman because it is so annoying to have to spend every single second with somebody. And I also don't appreciate having to FaceTime with people.
FaceTime.
When you're in a relationship, because holding up the fucking phone while you're talking, it's like, wait a second. This is like two exercises.
You're going to get arthritis.
Like, I can talk to you, but I need the lights off and I want to be in bed lying down, you know, with my AirPods in or whatever. I don't need to be looking at
your
face. No,
also, I'm staring at myself the whole time.
Exactly.
I want to be able to scroll Instagram while talking to you.
Exactly. I had a friend once, not a boyfriend. This was a friend. And anytime I would be on the phone reading an email or on social media or anything while I was on the phone, he could be talking and he'd go, what are you reading?
And I'm like, your business.
Why do you know that I'm reading something? Like, how can you tell? He's like, I can tell by the way you're breathing.
He's like, your eyes are going left to right.
I'm like, well, that would be really annoying if we were fucking FaceTiming because then you'd fucking know for sure.
Do you want to know something wild? He had an apartment and the person, older woman, passed away next door. And I bought the apartment next door. So I have my own apartment next to his.
Oh, God, that's solid.
Isn't that kind of hot?
Plan. Yeah.
It's kind of hot.
And where do you guys live, in Brooklyn?
We live in the Lower East Side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about moving to New York. I'm going to look at a bunch of apartments tomorrow.
I mean, you're such a New Yorker.
I know. It's ridiculous that I've never lived here. I'm 48 years old. So I've never lived in New York City.
Yeah, you're Jewish.
Like,
what the?
I know.
We accept you with open arms.
I know. Well, you'd have to accept me because I'm fucking
New Jersey.
From here.
Yeah, you're.
I'm from New Jersey. But
I didn't mean to call you out.
It's a tri-state area.
Yes, tri-state area.
With the tri-state area.
As long as you're not from like upstate, you know?
No, I'm not from upstate. Okay, what else do you want to tell me about yourself?
Oh, but I did want to talk about skiing with you.
Oh, because you had a ski
That's our biggest
injury.
Issue. That's our biggest
Oh, I like your little furry arms.
Wait,
you're cute.
I'm very sweaty right now. I'm sorry.
But look how much I like your hairy.
Hey,
like,
I'm half Italian.
Oh, yeah, I can see it. It's cute.
Oh,
I like
thank
hair.
You. Are we flirting?
No.
Okay. So I think that I want to like skiing. And
but what did you say? You had a ski accident?
I had a ski accident because I really wanted to be good at skiing. And it's a weird thing because I'm competitive, but like you just get to the bottom of the mountain. So I'm like bored and scared.
Mm.
And then I cry all the time.
Why?
Well, I'm like new to it. So I'm like in a
can't
bush.
Cry.
I will
can't
always
cry.
Find a bush. I'm crying, but then I'll be like, oh, no, it's really cold. I'm not crying, which I think is so scary. But like, I want to know why you love skiing because I want to get the bug because all he wants to do is ski, but we can't change ourselves for men.
Mm.
Why do you love
skiing? Skiing because it's freeing. Like, yeah. I love...
Well, you are topless too when you do it.
Yeah, but not all the time. I even love it when I'm wearing clothes. I love it even more when I'm fucking naked because there's just something so freeing about skiing down a
and
mountain
naked. And
your
tits naked. Are so good.
I know. They're my best feature. I can't believe my tits. I'm like, oh my God. Anytime anyone sees them for the first time, they're like, oh my God, are those real? I'm like, yeah, they're real. Look at them bounce up and down.
You got a fun... Then they're like athletic tits too. Like, you can do stuff with them.
I'm not against plastic surgery because I'll do that, but I wouldn't get fake boobs. You know what I mean? If anything, I would prefer smaller boobs because I've had them my whole life, so I'm used to them. So they're not that fun for me anymore.
Yeah.
But that's the other reason why I want to up my sex drive because it feels shameful to waste this body. My body is so smoking that it's like, I feels like I need to share it, you know?
But I do feel like the best part of sex is like the foreplay before of like the teasing, like will we not? And then once you do it, you're always just like, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's always good when you do it.
Yeah.
But back to skiing.
Oh, yeah.
There's a freedom. There's a freedom in skiing down a mountain and being just like, and just ripping down a mountain. Like, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love the sense of, like, strength, the strength of, like, the sense of freedom. Mm-hmm. I love being outside in that cold weather. Like, it's very invigorating to me, that feeling. It's not for everybody because a lot of people don't like the cold.
You definitely get out of your own head when you're there because you have to be in the moment.
You have to focus.
What do you think about the douchey snowboarders, though? Like, they're like,
yeah, I mean, they're snowboarders like aren't my favorite. The only time I've ever been hit has been by a snowboarder.
Right? I almost...
They've snowboarded into me several times. Friends.
The only boards I want is a charcuterie board. Like, that's all I want.
I don't even like charcuterie anymore, I've decided. I'm over charcuterie.
Hot take.
Yeah, hot take is right. Charcuterie feels passé to me.
Well, I've never finished one, and then I always feel guilty because I had, like,
I'm pepperonis. Back on the cheese. Cheese and jamón, because jamón is what they have in Spain, and I spent a lot of time in Spain, and I fucking love jamón. But that's the only kind of, like, meat dish I want at that... I'm over charcuterie.
I like the food associated with skiing, though. Because hot chocolate, you could drink at any time and no one judges you.
Well, I drink margaritas. I go in for 11 o'clock margarita break. At 11 a.m., I go in for my first margarita. Then I go back for at 1. And that actually gives me a more sense of, like, I even am more fearless once I have a little alcohol in my system, for skiing. Because my ski buddies in Canada, where I ski, are hardcore. They fucking are not fucking around.
Yeah, they're doing blacks.
So that's why I have to get knee surgery so I can ski and keep up with my friends. So
I love how your ski season, like, everything revolves around your ski season.
Everything.
But having you have a legit hobby, and I feel like so many people don't have hobbies, and it's so beautiful that you love anything as much as you love skiing.
Well, thank you. I was dating this guy a few years ago, right before I went away to Whistler for like 3 months.
Yes.
I go, now I'm going to Whistler. And he's like, okay, so how long are you to be there? And I was like, 3 months. And he was like, am I going to visit you there? And I was like, do you ski?
Can you keep up?
And he's like, well, I mean, I haven't skied. And I was like, no, then you're not visiting me. Like, it's over.
I'm not,
like,
babysitting you on the ski slope.
The relationship is over now.
We're not doing pizza skis together. That's not hot. It gives you the ick.
No.
A guy doing pizza skiing?
No. So I just don't even, like, that's how committed to skiing I am, that even if I'm in the throes of a romance, I will prefer to go and leave that person to go skiing.
I love that. But I was actually in Whistler when I got injured.
But what was your injury?
So I was on a green, and it was called, like, Easy Out or something.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, Easy Out.
And it was, like, early in the morning, so it was very choppy, and I was a little cocky. Like, Dez, my husband, would make me do 3-hour lessons, get lunch, then show him what I learned. Like, it was very intense.
But 3-hour lessons.
I want to be, like, loved. And my dad was my tennis coach, so it's like some deep therapy thing. And I'm just like, I will be great for this man. So I'm showing off. I'm like, bam, bam. I'm getting my, rhythm. Mm-hmm. And I hit an edge, and I fell onto my hand. So, like, my whole body fell on my hand, and then, like, my hand kind of got crushed. And I had to call the what's it called, Sheboygan?
Sheboygan?
What? It's a place in Wisconsin.
Is that part of the charcuterie board?
The toboggan.
It's the poggin. Toboggan. Sheboygan.
I'm so New York. I have no idea anything outside New York. The toboggan came so dramatic because it's just my pinky.
And so when you broke your pinky?
I basically crushed, like, all my knuckles.
Ow.
It was bad. And I'm getting frostbite because it's, like, out. And I'm just lying there, and there's a video of me going down the Sheboygan, and it was so traumatizing.
And how did your boyfriend react to that? Was he sympathetic to your injury?
He was, but he thinks that I manifested it, which I think I did, because I didn't really want to go skiing that day. Mm. You know, when you're just like, what if I just, chucked myself down the mountain? Because I was tired. I was doing, like, tons of shows, and I was like, I don't want to go skiing this morning.
Right.
And he's really good.
Have you been skiing since then?
So I have some shows coming up in, like, Denver and Aspen, and we're seeing. He bought me the like, pass. Uh-huh. So he's trying to get me,
like,
back
the
out
icon
there.
Pass?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's pressuring me.
Yeah. I had a boyfriend once who didn't care. I had a torn ACL from skiing again. This is years ago. All I do is hurt myself. So I had a torn ACL years ago in Switzerland, in Zermatt. I was also on ecstasy when I got into that accident. So I just want to be very honest about that. And they medevaced me into a helicopter off the mountain. My friends were all like, you're a fucking loser. And then I went to Rome and, like, Florence and some parts of Italy. Other
half
parts
of your
Italy.
Leg is, like, hanging
and
off.
And I'm just, well, basically I was like, oh, I'll wait to get the surgery because I was already on vacation. And I was like, oh, I'll just tape it every day or wrap it. But my boyfriend just had no regard for my health, like, at all. Like, I'd get home every night, my knee would be, like, the size of a water balloon. And I'd have to elevate it, ice it for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah.
And he was just like, all right, tomorrow we're going to the Coliseum. I'm like, fuck off. And so that, so it's very important when people care about your well-being.
You like, learn about I know. Well, I learned my about, right hand.
But I also, so what does that mean?
So like
oh, because you're a righty.
So I couldn't jerk my husband. No, I don't know.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I was like, you know when you put your hair in a ponytail?
Yeah.
Which, who knew how important that was? I couldn't do it. And
right.
he was trying to do it. And I'm like, that's an ugly ponytail, babe. And then I couldn't text fast. Because
right.
I couldn't use my hand. So that was a nightmare.
Oh, well,
started doing
yeah.
voice messages. All my friends were annoyed at me.
Yeah, I've never ever once recorded a voice message. But I receive them. You know, they disappear too. They vanish.
Yeah, that's sketchy.
Why is that?
It's so unnecessary.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what do you think I'm going to do? Forward your message to someone else? Meanwhile, that's how I found out
yes.
they vanished. Because I was trying to do that very thing. Okay, we have to take a break and we'll be right back. Catherine, we're taking a break.
Amazing. Moms are more than the stuff they do for us. The laundry, cooking, and driving. And by the way, dad should be helping with that stuff too. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. This Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best, and that's why Bouqs is giving you 25% off your entire order of farm fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. Here's what's great about the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you cannot find anywhere else. Bouqs is simple. Go online, pick the delivery date, and you are done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mother. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. So go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, for 25% off. That's B-O-U-Q-S.com, promo code Chelsea.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And?
And we're back.
We're back. It's so fast.
Okay, Catherine, what's going on today, Catherine? We've barely heard a peep out of you.
I know.
So we've got a bunch of very fun questions for Hannah, but I think let's start with a little wedding question, a marriage question.
Sounds like your wheelhouse.
Bianca says, Dear Chelsea, my best friend of 13 years is getting married. She's my sister and my lifelong soulmate. I'm her maid of honor and will, of course, have to give a speech at the wedding. The speech will most likely be during the ceremony, and I believe the best man will go the funny route, so I want to keep it classy, sentimental, and sweet. However, I don't see the spark with her fiancé, and I'm feeling so uninspired in writing this speech.
Break up the wedding.
She loves him dearly, and they're building a life together, and I trust her decision in choosing him as a partner for her life. But sometimes I'm like, really? This guy? Nothing is wrong with him necessarily, other than having the personality of a rock. How do I find inspiration? Sincerely, Bianca.
I think that's your speech right there. Mm.
Well, I would focus your speech on your friend and just make it about all of the incredible things you can say about her and how lucky he is to be marrying her. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to vouch for him necessarily or talk about their connection. Obviously, at the end, you want to say, like, I'm so glad that you found someone who appreciates all these things.
Yes.
You know, to really drive it home. But you not getting the spark between them is really not important information for your speech.
Yeah.
You have to be a good friend right now. And she loves him. And she's getting married, and he's not an asshole or abusive or anything like that that you've mentioned. So there's no reason to take a stand other than just trying to make a great speech about what an incredible person she is and list just some of your favorite memories of her.
That's good. I mean, you don't have to put together like a whole thesis statement essay. I love a quick speech. I love a 3-4 minute solid to the point. And also, I don't know her personality, but like, you can be funny too, girl.
Yeah.
We did speeches and my husband was like killing in his speech, like laughs per minute.
You guys were making speeches
at
your own wedding?
We did speeches at our own wedding.
That's funny.
I think it's an Irish tradition.
Oh, that's funny.
So well, he was murdering.
Good for him since he's not fucking Irish. I mean, it's Irish tradition.
I guess because he's lived there the last like 30 years. Yeah, so he's like, this is what we do. And I was like, okay, now I have to perform my own fucking wedding. And he's killing. And then I'm realizing I have to follow him. So I'm not listening to his speech. I'm going through my notes and my set, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I slow it down. After the best man crushes, slow it down, you know, get the audience calm again.
Yeah.
And I was like, sweet. And then I made a joke, like, I wish I met you earlier, like when you were in your 20s, but I would have been in kindergarten. And then we got like a little applause break and I was like, fuck you, I win. And then I danced the night away. So don't be afraid to be funny just because the best man's going to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, you can crush it too.
Yeah, that I agree with that too.
I've been in this situation before, too, where, like, one of my best girlfriends, like, she dated this really fun guy, and he was awesome. They traveled. They did all this stuff. And then the guy she wound up marrying was just, like, this very kind of boring guy, plain vanilla. And you know what? They are now, like, 15 years later, like, so happy, 3 kids living in the suburbs. And I'm like, who knew? She's, like, thrilled with her life. They're deeply in love, even though he's, like, still very boring. But that's what she wanted, so.
Yeah, you know? Well, a lot of people want boring men, so.
Yeah.
Exactly. I remember talking to my dad about this exact friend. And I'm like, you know, this guy, he's just, like, so vanilla. And my dad goes, you know what? A lot of people love vanilla ice cream. It's not exciting. It's not Rocky Road. But vanilla ice cream is still vanilla ice cream.
What kind of wedding did you have?
So we, honestly, if I'm being open with people, elope. Like, just elope. We had a beautiful wedding in West Hampton. It was great. We brought the families together. But it adds up. It gets so expensive. And also, as a comedian, like, I always make everything about me. So the day was, I don't like wedding attention. It's like happy birthday attention where you're like, oh, these people are forced to like clap for me because it's my birthday or my wedding day. I like to earn people's affection. So it was very, I didn't love that attention on wedding day. But I think for someone who like never makes things about themselves, the wedding day is the most beautiful day.
Yes.
But for
I
a
agree.
Comic,
and
it wasn't.
Comic, exactly.
It was
it's
really,
the last thing I would ever want for myself
no,
is a wedding.
I was like, and also the whole, like, your dad giving you away. I'm like,
my dad's dead. So he's not giving me away.
Shout out to
Shout
Jess's
out to
dad.
My dad if you're listening to this podcast.
Actually, both of Des's parents are dead.
Are dead.
Which is quite nice.
With that, let's go to Grindr. Tyler lives in the South, and he is in a bit of a predicament. I just want to preface, too. So this is a bit of a two-part question. Mm. I would love for us to sort of answer the question in the email a little bit, and then he's going to join us and give us a little bit of an update. So Tyler says, okay. Dear Chelsea, I find myself in a rather delicate situation, and I would greatly appreciate your insight and guidance. The other night, during a sleepless bout at 3 a.m., I found myself mindlessly scrolling through Grindr. I have 2 different accounts, one with my face that I use regularly, and another anonymous account for mere curiosity. To my surprise, I received a message from a nearby anonymous profile expressing interest in a late-night encounter and including explicit photos. Curiosity got the better of me, and I asked this person for a face picture, thinking they wouldn't comply since I don't share face pictures on that account. However, they did send a photo, and to my astonishment, it turned out to be my aunt's husband.
Oh!
I was taken aback, to say the least. Now I find myself at a crossroads, unsure of how to proceed. Should I inform my aunt about my discovery? Should I confront her husband directly? I understand that staying silent is an option, but it goes against my nature and my personal values. My intention is to handle the situation with care and thoughtfulness, taking into consideration my aunt's feelings, our family dynamics, and the potential impact on their relationship. I don't know whether they have a specific open arrangement or an understanding within their marriage, and I don't want to make assumptions or create unnecessary discomfort for anyone involved. But I also don't want my aunt to be in a position without informed consent if she's unaware of his actions. Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
Hi.
Hi,
Tyler.
By the way, this is Hannah Berner,
nice
our
to meet
special
you.
Guest today.
Hi, Anna. So about a week after I wrote in, my aunt went on a 2-week vacation to Florida with her husband.
And, her husband, your boyfriend?
Yeah. And yeah. No. And so I was like, okay, I'm not going to ruin their vacation. Like, this is not a time to like blow it up. So I decided to like hold off. Well, what do you know? When they're in Florida, my aunt finds out on her own about this. She found Grindr on his phone. And so my sister messages me and she's like, our aunt found out about this. They're going to get a divorce and she wants you to block his number. And I'm like, me? Like, what? Okay. So, of course, I just played dumb. Like, I was like, okay, well, I guess this is kind of off of my chest now without me having to do or say anything or implicate myself. But
now there's no separation. I think they've kind of swept it under the rug. And I feel still a little yucky about it. And so I think my question now is, well, do I share with her what I know? I mean, I receive pictures.
Yeah, I think you do. I think you do. That's your aunt and your loyalty should be to your family. And she should know because now they're not getting divorced. Now they're staying together while he's grinding on other men and like trying to hook up. I mean, it's shocking. And which if she's fine with it, then fine. But he probably convinced her that it was like a one-time thing or blah, blah, blah. And I think you should tell her the truth. Absolutely.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I feel like it's the kind of thing that after like 4 drinks at a family function, you're going to spill anyway. So you might as well do it in like an organized, correct fashion. Because I know myself and it would be like on the tip of my tongue all the time. And I'd drop it at the worst point and that would be real drama.
Yeah, so luckily, we don't have that sort of family dynamic where we're all noodling together. But yeah, I just, you know, I hesitated because I'm like, well, do I reopen this wound? Maybe they hashed it out. Does she know the depth of it? And do I get involved?
Yeah, I know it's probably, I mean, listen, I always err on the side of telling people the truth, even if it's inconvenient and it's hard to hear. Like, I do it out of respect for people. Like, I think people deserve to know the full truth. And it actually seems like this opportunity has presented itself to you in a way that you should be telling the truth. You know, like, it came up and you can easily say, like, listen, I know you guys, I heard from my sister that you guys were separating and then you were getting divorced. Or if you had, did you spoken to your aunt directly about it yet? I mean, has she mentioned that the divorce to you or no?
She's not mentioned anything to me. The only thing I've heard was from my sister. And then that was it. It's almost as if it never happened.
Well, and can I also clarify, do any of them know that you got these pictures from him? Because, or was it just like, you know, and they don't know, you know?
They know now, though. They all listen to Chelsea. They know
everyone.
No.
No, they haven't. And I, you know what, 5 years ago, I probably would have been like, oh my God, guess what, everyone? But I've like learned empathy and learned perspective.
But if you were her, what would you want?
That's a really great question. I feel like I would want someone to tell me and without knowing what she knows now or how much she knows,
right.
I think I would still want it, but it also, I feel bad for her. It is an uncomfortable situation and I don't want to embarrass her. I don't want to make her feel any worse about it. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Maybe they're having fun threesomes now. Like maybe it's enhance their relationship.
Yeah, and that's what, and at first I was like, well, I don't know their situation. Maybe they're open and it's totally cool. But then I'm like, that's not, I live in Kentucky. That's not probably what my
No, because if she was going to divorce him right away, she obviously convinced her that it wasn't a thing or that he didn't do it or that it was a one-time thing. I think you should tell her. I think you should just say, listen, in light of everything that's happened, I know you and I haven't spoken directly, but I have to be honest with you because my loyalty is to you. This happened. This happened a couple weeks before you went on your vacation. I wrestled with telling you or not, and then I heard you were getting a divorce, and I figured, okay, there's no reason to tell you, and I no judgment whatsoever if you know about it and you're okay with it, but I wanted you to know from me, this is what happened.
Yeah, no judgment. I love you. He probably was like, Grindr, I thought it was like a car appliance app.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, any woman can be convinced of anything when they want to be,
true.
You know?
Yeah. Like powerful.
You know, and part of me too, like I get the piece where, you know, however old he is, having those feelings or being gay or being bisexual is just like out of the norm, I guess, or not right for people of his age. And so I get his perspective of like being, trying to be secretive and not share. And that part's wrong. The lying part is wrong, but I wanted to protect almost like the person, you know, prevent outing him and creating a situation where he can't be his authentic self. And that's work he has to do, I know, but I've also been on the side of where someone's outing me or talking bad about me or calling me names. And so I'm trying to, you know, proceed with caution, I guess. I just don't want anyone to be in a situation, my aunt or him, in terms of like his sexuality, if that's what it is, if it was experimenting, I don't know.
I get it. It's a sensitive issue. Yeah. And listen, you're not outing him because she, first of all, now she already knows something's up. And I respect what you're saying. You don't want to out somebody, but this is a family member. The reason to do it is to be honest with her. You know what I mean? You don't want to keep a secret on behalf of this guy when it's your aunt. You know, it's not like you're outing someone into the world and saying, oh, this person's a homosexual. You're saying to your aunt, this is what happened. This is what I know. I don't know that he's a homosexual, but I mean, clearly he sent me pictures. This happened. Like, you deserve to know this. And that's it. And if she doesn't, you know, and if she's fine with it, then fine. Then great.
Yeah.
Then they can carry on. But I think the truth is important.
Yeah. It is hard to be the catalyst, though, of drama, like feeling like it's your fault. But like, what if she ends up finding the love of her life after this and he ends up finding the love of his life and they live more authentic lives and then you're the savior and then you go to heaven.
And then and then Hannah comes and makes a speech at your wedding.
Yeah, I've been thinking about heaven a lot lately, so
have you?
God is like, I changed the rules.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like heaven's kind of gay, but anyway, that's another point.
Yeah, heaven does seem like it's definitely like there's a lot of gay people there.
Yeah.
After everything they've gone through on Earth, I mean, it makes
the aesthetic
sense
is gay,
go,
like sparkly and light.
Oh, it looks gay.
The colors dressing are good.
Light, that too. Angel wings. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of angel wings.
I agree. I think the right thing to do is to share and say, like you said, no judgment. I just want you to know the whole story and do what you want.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to prioritize like her bodily autonomy and being able to make choices for herself over, you know, as Chelsea said, you're not outing him to the world, but over like basically outing him as like, no, he is actively seeking hookups in person to your aunt. But also, like, I think maybe that conversation is not like showing her what he sent you, but like just maybe verbal and saying like, hey, he did send explicit photos, et cetera.
Yeah.
Keep us posted.
yeah, definitely keep us posted. I want to hear about this one after this is all, after the dust settles.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated. I will be very patient with her because I know it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chelsea, do you think this is like a letter? Do you think this is a phone call in person? What do you think?
Where does she live? Can you see her in person?
I can see her in person just about any time.
Yeah, I think you should do it in person.
Not a voice note.
Not a
voice memo. No, definitely not.
Definitely not.
Or you could just DM her on Instagram. That's that's intimate.
Just message her husband on Grindr.
There you go.
Actually, message them both together and just resend the pictures that he sent you on Grindr.
Oh God!
Go, does this look familiar? Does this dick look familiar?
And she's like, "We don't have sex, so I wouldn't."
He didn't know he was sending it to you, though, right? He didn't see your picture. He only. Oh, I see.
No,
sloppy, very sloppy.
Sloppy behavior.
Yeah,
he has a lot to learn.
But how can you hook up with someone on Grindr without seeing their photo of their face? You just send dick pics back and forth, and that's it.
Not me. I have to have a face. Like, I want to see teeth. I want to see, but other people.
But you said you don't send your face, right?
I don't send my face on that. So I have two Grinders. One's just for me being nosy. That's just a blank profile. And the other, that's my thing. I know. I kind of
like a Finsta. Like a Finsta.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what's the point of a fake Grinder? Like,
for me, it's just like who's around. I don't like actively really message people, but just to know who's
there. But finding
there.
Out if your aunt's husbands are on it, that's a good enough reason.
I wonder how many aunts. I wonder how many of your aunt's husbands are on it. One, so far, how many aunts do you have?
Oh my God.
Every aunt is shaking right now.
I will call in another episode and we'll go through my whole family if you want.
Kentucky's crazy.
Oh my God. Grindr, by the way, is like the Wild West. So you don't know the half of what happens there. Or why.
No, I don't.
You need
I don't.
A little bit of the sex of Grindr, like a little bit of testosterone.
Yeah,
from
Grindr. Yeah, I do. It sounds like I do.
Yeah,
maybe I can get it from your uncle.
Yeah,
it's funny though because I feel like a lesbian dating app would not just be sending like labia lips.
No,
that wouldn't work.
It would be like poetry
or verse.
Cat photos.
It's like nesting. I don't know if you've ever heard of the term nesting, but when a bunch of gays get together, it's fun and interesting. I'm not gonna say I hate it, but
I think Chelsea needs like a fake Grindr account so she can explore.
I think you should.
That actually would amuse me, I think. I'm not sure. I don't really like dick pics, though.
Out of context, they're aggressive.
I don't really like to see pictures of penises. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I would rather just, not see that.
She goes, I'd love it minus all the dicks. You're like, that's not going to work.
That's not going to work for
me. Other body parts. Well, Tyler, let us know what happens. I know you've got a couple of tough conversations out of you.
Yeah, I will. I'll keep you posted, and I'm sure all will go just as smoothly as we hope.
Thank you, Tyler.
Bye, Tyler.
Thank you. Bye. Good to see you.
Bye.
Oh, I'm stressed. I'm
that
sweating.
That was a juicy one.
Yeah, that was good.
A lot of layers. A lot of layers.
How cute.
Moms are more than the stuff they do for us. The laundry, cooking, and driving. And by the way, Dad should be helping with that stuff too. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. This Mother's Day, give Mom her flowers. She deserves the best, and that's why Bouqs is giving you 25% off your entire order of farm fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. Here's what's great about the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you cannot find anywhere else. Bouqs is simple. Go online, pick the delivery date, and you are done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mother. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. So go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chelsea.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion.
That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, our next caller is Cecilia. Dear Chelsea, I'm 25 years old, and I would say I'm a late bloomer in the romantic realm. I've never had a boyfriend. I went to a small high school where none of my friends really dated. Then for college, I majored in theater, so no straight men there. Then COVID hit my senior year, and I also have a life full of loving friends and family, so I think this has also caused me to not seek a romantic partner. I moved to a new city 2 years ago for a fabulous job and haven't quite found a circle of friends that give me the support I need. I started online dating about a year ago, and after maybe half a dozen first dates, I decided it wasn't for me. I have had two other situationships, as the Gen Z would say, in recent months, and they both happened similarly. Both were guys at work who I had a foundation with of sorts, and they pursued me. We'd go on fun dates, and they were obsessed with me, as they should be. And then once I really liked them and tried to define the relationship, they'd get all distant. It's frustrating that both of these guys pursued me and then let things fizzle once I had strong feelings for them. Needless to say, I need to stop dating men in the workplace, but it's also teaching me that being upfront with my feelings scares men away, which feels like the wrong takeaway. My therapist said I should let them initiate how they're feeling, but that feels like a cop-out. I feel like I have no skills in dating or handling a breakup, and I feel like I'm so late to the game, I don't even know where to start. Cecilia.
She's 25. Late to the game. Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, Cecilia.
Hi. No.
You're only 25 years old. You mean late to the game. Some people don't even have sex until they're 30.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's fair. I guess, I don't know. It's something that I feel like I've done other parts of my life that I'm like, oh, let's delve into finding a partner, especially like in the city I live in. I feel like I don't have a base. So like, I feel like having a partner would be nice.
What city do you live in?
Orlando.
Oh, okay.
Water parks. I like to say, as an elder, your early 20s is all just researching. It's not even dating. Call it researching. You're figuring out what you like, what you don't like, what makes you uncomfy. Because there's no, you're not trying to find a husband. You know, you're just learning about yourself. And you don't really know that much about yourself in your early 20s either.
Yeah, and you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. Why do you have put so much pressure on yourself to be in a relationship?
I guess maybe like a part of me puts pressure on myself. Like when I was writing in, I was putting pressure on myself, but like it's not like I'm actively focusing on that all the time. I think just a part of me like puts pressure on myself, but I put pressure on myself career-wise and like other parts of my life for sure. But it's not like every day I'm waking up like, how do I solve this problem? I'm single.
Right.
And, like, I'm not, it's like not an intense problem. It's just like, I don't want to like be 30 and be like, oh, I forgot again to ever pursue anyone romantically. Like, I just feel like I have to make that a part of my life if I ever want that.
I mean, relationships are hard, and it could seem with social media that like everyone's in a loving relationship, but I think it's like the hardest thing. And you know how when you make a friend, it's so easy and quick. That's kind of like what you're looking for in a guy, where it's like, we're not forcing it. I mess with you. There's not like, oh, I have to, it's not like homework. Like, I have to study to be good at this. It's kind of like what we're talking about is don't worry about the men, worry about you. And then you'll be doing something you love, like skiing or something, and they'll find you, but you don't have to force it or research or like try too hard.
Yeah. I've picked up bouldering recently. That's been cool. But like, I don't know, I guess I feel like I should be actively trying at least a little bit.
But I think an oversight that many of us make is, or we, or a miscalculation is like, don't underestimate the value of your relationship with yourself. When you are a whole person and you really invest in getting to know yourself, in being with yourself, in finding out what you do enjoy, like, okay, bouldering, great. You like that, right? All of those things are good. Like, it's very natural. Not everybody has boyfriends in their 20s. You know, like I had two boyfriends in my 20s in the span in a decade. I'm not a relationship person. I have relationships and then I have to take long breaks in between those relationships because they fucking wear the shit out of me. And then in those times when I'm single are the best times in my life. So like, honestly, like you have to really build that relationship with yourself and get to know who you are and what, because sometimes in our 20s, like, there's a lot of us looking around, and not sometimes, this is like a society now. We're always looking at what other people are doing. We're looking at social media. We're looking at other people. They're in relationships. I should do that. I should do that. Why? Who, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you can make an effort, and you can make an effort. You're going to meet people naturally in your life as you go through your job, as you go through your social stuff and your hobbies. You are naturally going to meet people. If you want to put an effort in beyond that, then absolutely. Then you do kind of have to do that dating thing, or you have to put yourself in situations where you're going to constantly be meeting new people. And there are other ways to do that without dating sites. And you can join, you know, like a bouldering club, or you can join a tennis club, or you can join a pickleball club, or whatever the fuck you're into. You know, and you can meet people that way and use that as like, okay, at least I'm actively putting myself out there. Yeah. But I have to tell you, when I actively put myself out there is when it yields the least results.
That is so true.
I meet people when I'm not looking. That's always what has happened to me.
Yeah.
And I don't consider any of my relationships unsuccessful because they didn't work out. They were just parts of the things that built me up into who I am today and makes me understand myself even more. Now I know, like, I have zero tolerance for any bullshit. I have to be completely attracted or into someone to give you the time of day. Like, you know, I just don't have that kind of like young attitude about it anymore because my time with myself is so valuable. That was a word of the day. It was called the pleasure of being alone, the pleasure of enjoying your solitude. Anthropony, I think is what it was. Anyway, I was like, oh, that's how I feel. Like I love my alone time. So listen, it doesn't really, we're not giving you like a concrete answer here, but I would say just lay off of it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Don't even think about it for a couple months and revisit it. Mm-hmm. So you can just kind of get refocused and recalibrate on yourself and then come at it and with a fresher perspective. If you're done with the dating sites for now, then give it a break and come back to it in a couple of months or whatever you feel like it. You know, I wouldn't put so much pressure on yourself to meet somebody.
Ooh, that was amazing. Take fucking notes. That was heavy. But it's also, I feel like we're trying to say, like, we're kind of proud of you that you've invested in yourself, because sometimes you'll only try to date people and you're just like doing whatever they like. And yeah, do some apps, throw yourself on some dates. But we're going to be honest, you're not missing that much. Early 20s, guys are confused. They don't even know how to finger you. Like, you're confused. So like, you're not missing anything crazy. And by the time you're like 30 and you're that bitch, then you're going to level up and meet someone at that level with you. But that comes in investing in yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Then you really have something to offer somebody up. When you really have put the work into yourself and you are comfortable in your own skin and know who you are, then you really are a catch.
Mm.
You know, not to say you're not one now, but it's only going to get better for you. So the more time you can spend by yourself getting to realize who you are, becoming a self-actualized person, is going to yield much better results and much better people that are complementary to you and that are well suited for you. Because sometimes when we come from a place of like, oh, well, I guess I should be doing this, you're not really looking for the right things in a person.
Ooh. And if you get married one day, you have the whole rest of your life that you're going to be like, oh, I miss when I was early 20s and I could just hang out with the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say, too, like, you moved to this new city 2 years ago. You know, you're kind of established there, but you haven't developed that friend group. And that's one of the best ways to, like, meet a romantic interest is through friends. So if you're going to pour effort into anything, maybe pour your effort into, like, building a base of friendships and dating to find a group of friends, you know?
And I love bouldering. That's cool. I mean, I've never done it, but I want to. It sounds fun.
It's just easy to pick up if that's something you're interested in. Like,
What is bouldering? Rock climbing?
Yeah, but it's like rock climbing, but it's strategic. So there's like different colors and like you're not like strapped into anything. It's not that kind of rock climbing. It's only like 10 feet off the
ground. A spider monkey.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to Google spider monkey later. It sounds like some sort of semen applicant, like something to do with semen. Was that helpful to you at all?
Yeah, I guess I just kind of have spent the past couple years building on myself and working on myself and not being invested in finding a romantic partner. So I kind of thought maybe now that I'm so established here in my career and my friends here are like, okay, but like my friends and family back home, like I'm so secure in that like I thought this would be like a good time in my life to kind of like branch out. But we're saying like, no, keep focusing on like myself and like kind of go from there.
No, I mean, you can branch out. You can do both things. But I'm just saying in the interim time where, like, if you don't want to put the effort into the dating sites, then you don't have to do that. There's no limit or time frame where you have to be with somebody. I understand the desire, but nothing bad is going to come from you spending time alone and getting to know yourself even more. You know, 2 years is great. So maybe it's another 6 months. You'll know when you have like a real hankering, and you'll definitely know when you meet someone and there's a spark.
Mm-hmm.
And that could happen also.
And
just
it takes
randomly.
1 second.
Yeah.
It takes one person.
Yeah.
Are you on the apps?
No.
She said she's over them.
Oh, you're over.
That's what I'm saying is I'm not really trying. So that's like kind of where I'm at right now.
We're kind of saying don't feel bad about where you are. It's great. And I would re-download the app. So you like doing your own thing and force yourself to go on like a date every couple weeks and see what happens.
So I don't really go on the apps because I've done that before and I've never had a dating app where I've been like, that was so fun. Even though we didn't have a connection, that was great. So I'm like, like go to the movies by myself, like take myself out to dinner. Like I'd rather do that than do that with somebody.
Also, like, let the friends that you do have know, like, hey, do you know anybody? Put it out there that you're interested in meeting someone. And, like, things will percolate. People will start thinking about who they know and who they might hook you up with. Well, Cecilia, keep us posted on what you do decide to do. If you decide to, like, work on friendships, if you decide to try out the apps again.
Yeah, for sure.
And who knows, maybe we'll run into somebody on this podcast and we can set you up with them. We just have to find someone who lives in Orlando.
Perfect. Yes. Keep me posted.
Have you heard of Ron DeSantis? Would you like to go on a date with him?
Oh, Chelsea, no, please.
Zaddy.
Too soon. All right, Cecilia, good luck.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. We didn't really help Cecilia.
I know, she's bummed.
She didn't really want to do anything about it. So it's like, I don't know, what are we supposed to just bring someone out of thin air and place her in his custody?
Finding a friend group and like solidifying those relationships, I think is number one for her. Because she's been there for 2 years. Like she hasn't been there for 2 months and doesn't have friends. She's been there for 2 years. Don't you feel like that's the next move?
Making friends as an adult could be so hard, though.
But she did say in her letter, she said she didn't have a friend group. But then when we were talking, she said she had some friends.
But
she was
home.
Saying fret from home. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Orlando, it just sounds so bleak. As soon as she said Orlando, it's like, well, then first you have to leave Florida, and then we can talk about what's going to happen. You know? Orlando, like, ugh.
I know. It's tricky.
Oh, God. That's why I said water parks. I was trying to be positive.
I know, but are those positive?
No,
I mean,
everyone
talk
pees
about
in
semen.
It. Yeah, semen.
What's that word that you guys just said? The monkey.
Spider monkey.
Spider monkey sounds like you would find that at a water
that's
park.
That's like once he comes, that's what it looks like on
oh.
my body.
Oh, no. Vanessa Gonzalez, who opens for me on my tour,
I love
she
Vanessa.
Talks about men coming, and it's so disenchanting.
Yeah, it's always
it's
more of just like a
it's
dribble.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm
men's faces
for them.
When they come. Is embarrassing. No. You have to look away or just shut your eyes.
How did we get here?
I don't know. Spider monkeys. Okay, we're going to take a quick break.
Moms are more than the stuff they do for us. The laundry, cooking, and driving. And by the way, Dad should be helping with that stuff too. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. This Mother's Day, give Mom her flowers. She deserves the best, and that's why Bouqs is giving you 25% off your entire order of farm-fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. Here's what's great about the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you cannot find anywhere else. Bouqs is simple. Go online, pick the delivery date, and you are done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mother. Order your Books now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. So go to Books.com and use promo code Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, for 25% off. That's B-O-U-Q-S.com, promo code Chelsea.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion.
That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back.
We are.
We're back with Hannah Berner.
We're back. I do have a little quickie. This is from Caitlin. Dear Chelsea, I think I seriously need my ass kicked, ladies, and I figured you'd be the best ones to do it. I've been with my boyfriend for about 15 months, and we're absolutely in love. He's amazing.
Great.
Everything I've always wanted. I've waited a long time for him. She's 55.
Oh.
However, I find myself being hung up on the fact that I make more money than him. Like, substantially more. I've never been in this situation before, but I'm not so sure how to handle what I'm feeling. When we go out, he drives and pays, etc. But when we take it to the next level and live together, I fear there will be resentment on my part because I'll surely be covering more of our living expenses. Chelsea, I'm sure you've been in relationships with men that make less money than you. How did you handle it? Please help me get over myself. Caitlin.
First of all, men have been paying for us for fucking years. So get over yourself, Caitlin. Who gives a shit about money? Be happy that you're in a happy relationship with somebody that you're attracted to, that you want to fuck, and that you want to live with. Mm-hmm. Who cares about who makes more money? That I don't care. I don't have any resentment. It's sometimes not hot if someone's broke, but as long as someone can, like, pay their fair share of something and you make more money, then you help out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. That's what a relationship is.
Rich guys sometimes are the worst.
Mm. Oh, God. Yeah, you don't want... First of all, no. This is very sexist, you know, to think that...
Protect men. Chelsea.
I hardly ever defend men, but I have to say, in defense of men in this one, like, you have everything you want, and you're hung up on how much money you make. What if every man who supported every woman said that? Yeah. That's just silly. That's silliness, and that's old thinking, and you've been shaped by your society. Mm.
And I'd rather be with a guy who loves his job and loves life and makes me feel good about myself than a guy who's... What, you want him a stockbroker that's, like, gone all the time and
Hannah's
cheating on you?
Hannah's boyfriend sits on the couch. She doesn't even want to work anymore, and she loves him. She married him.
I love him. I love him. Because I want to create a good life for us, and if that involves, like, me living my dream and me making money, we're all happy. You don't need finances from him. That's why you work. Yeah. And he can never control you with finances.
Yeah, exactly. Thank your lucky stars. Thank you. You're welcome. Problem solved. Good night.
Kicked her ass.
Hannah, this was a delight. You're a delight.
Oh my God, this was so much fun.
You guys want to go see Hannah on tour? You can go to her website, hannahberner.com. She's touring all over the country. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And you can listen to her podcast, Burner Phone and Giggly Squad. Thank you, Hannah Berner.
Thank you, Chelsea Handler.
Thank you for being here. Okay.
Chelsea, do you have some new dates for us?
Oh, you know I do. You know I do. I have a lot of, we added lots of Canadian cities. Canadians, I'm coming. We added about 15 new tour dates. I'm coming to Denver again, Salt Lake City, Vancouver, Richmond, Virginia, Santa Rosa, California, Gary, Indiana, Baltimore, Verona, New York, and about 7 dates in Canada. So go to chelseahandler.com. I am performing everywhere. I will be on tour all for the rest of the year and through December. And then next year, I'm going to be touring all year. So come and get it, you guys. It's good times, and it's a very much needed reprieve from all the fucking madness that's going on in this world. So I'm here to bring joy and sunshine.
Do you have a holiday-themed question for Chelsea? Please send us all the questions you need answered about crazy family get-togethers, arguing over which cranberry sauce recipe to use, and all your holiday drama. Just send your questions to DearChelseaPodcast@gmail.com. Dear Chelsea is edited and engineered by Brad Dickert, executive producer Catherine Law. And be sure to check out our merch at ChelseaHandler.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
We all know how important it is to get a good night's sleep. I know that if I don't sleep for 8 hours a night, I am not as sharp. From memory foam mattresses that hug in all the right places to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support at every price point. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to Leesa.com/Chelsea for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Leesa.com/Chelsea.